The following program is sponsored by Seattle Open Door Church. Seattle Open Door Church is committed to loving God, loving people, and loving life. Our doors are open to whomever. No masks required. Seattle Open Door Church is located in downtown Burien next to the Southwest Courthouse. Host for There Is Hope is Richard Dover, the senior pastor of Seattle Open Door Church in Burien.
As we talk about community development, I pray that your message will get out through this broken vessel, that people will grasp the concept of community development, to take the Word of God, the gospel, into the outside world, but also in the church, to actually reach out to each other in the church and to reach out into the world. I just pray that you'll be with the message in Jesus' name. Amen. Community development, the gospel. Community development in a Christian perspective is finding every opportunity possible to meet the needs of others and getting them connected to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We as Christians, we as a church, should find every opportunity that we possibly can to meet the needs of others and let them know it's because of Jesus. The reason I gave you a meal is because Jesus put it on my heart to show you His love. The reason I gave you a ride to Social Security so you can get some assistance is because of Jesus Christ putting love for you. The reason I invited you to a movie was so you could hear the gospel shared four times in that movie, because I really want you to hear that Jesus is the answer. That's community development. It is the sharing the love of Christ in a practical manner. What does practical manner mean? A way that is practical. What is very practical? In a way that just makes sense. So how many know, I am a guy that, you hear me, I believe in preaching the Word of God. I believe a call to holiness and purity. I believe God calls us to worship Him. I believe that God calls us to give of ourselves and die for Him. I believe in the gospel, but listen. The other part of the gospel is to meet the needs of people in a practical sense. It's to make a difference in somebody's life. It's sharing the love of Christ in a practical manner. It is the helping of individuals to get connected to God through an interaction with them in a practical manner. Let me tell you something. If you will take a widow, our widows here know Jesus. Take a widow that doesn't know Jesus and minister to that widow in a practical manner, that widow is more likely to come to Christ. 80 years they've been an atheist, but a loving Christian goes and helps that widow in a practical manner. She may just want to know about the Jesus Christ in you that reaches out to her. That she has Christian people living her all around her, and they do nothing for her. But a Christian neighbor goes and reaches out and then lets them know it's because of Jesus Christ that I'm doing this. Listen, reaching out but not letting them know it's Jesus, you're not helping them. Did you hear me? Because any lost person can reach out to somebody that doesn't know Jesus. But it's you that have the Spirit of God living within you. And as you minister to them, whatever it may be, and along the way you plant the seeds and you say, you know, I have to tell you, today was a really busy day, but God put it on my heart that I was to call you. And when I called you, you say you need a ride. And I believe it's the Holy Spirit that told me to call you up to give you a ride. Then you're giving God glory for it and you're not getting the glory for it. And then you keep sharing with them and sharing with them, and they start to want to know about that Jesus. And whatever we do, we point to Christ. There's too much of the good deed stuff by Christians that never lets the people know that it's Jesus that's behind it. We're too ashamed, we're too embarrassed, we're too shy, we're too this or too that. But we're doing a disservice to somebody if while we're ministering to them, we're not letting them know that it's because of Jesus Christ. It's because of Christ I'm doing what I'm doing. Community development, how does it start? It starts by walking out the gospel, living the gospel of Jesus Christ. It starts by us just being followers of Christ who love people. Listen, it's one thing to say I love you, it's another thing to walk it out. I've said it before, I'll say it again and again. This is a very loving, accepting church, but I think that we fail miserably at times of reflecting that outside of Sunday morning. Every visitor that I've ever talked to, has said, I felt loved and accepted in this church. But they're not here. Because it's one thing to love and accept somebody on Sunday morning at 11 to 1 o'clock. It's another thing to love and accept them outside of the church doors. It's one thing to love and accept them for who they are, no matter what they act like, look like, anything that they do, lifestyle, everything else. Another thing to walk out the gospel by taking the gospel outside the church walls and minister to people outside the church walls. Community development starts by being concerned for others, compassionate. It starts by having compassion for others. It starts by having a place that you are burdened by what others are going through. Think about it. If every person that walked in these doors not only felt accepted, but they felt the compassion that just dribbled off of you, oozed out of you into their lives, would this community right here develop? Would this community right here grow? If there was an ooze of compassion, an ooze of empathy, it can't be just Pastor Rich. It needs to be every one of us sensitive to somebody that's going through something and letting them know that you care. Otherwise, we're just a bunch of Christians meeting together and we're not the body of Christ. There's a difference between Christians meeting together and being the body of Christ, representing Jesus Christ Himself. When we have a concern for others, they get it and they want to be around people that have a concern for them. Who wants to be around people that don't care? Community development, how does it start? Build healthy relationships in church. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you came from a dysfunctional home? Every one of us. Because our parents came from Adam and Eve. So I don't like it sometimes. Oh, I came from a dysfunctional home and people tell their sad stories. Every one of us came from a dysfunctional home and have a sad story. If you had a perfect parent, you were deceived. You believed a lie. And you probably excused some sinful behavior from them. Because I've talked to people who say, yeah, my dad was the most loving father. Well, he was a drunk. Listen, if your father wasn't drunk, he was not a loving father all the time. Couldn't be. Drunks cannot be loving fathers all the time. But he did the best he could. That's great. But he fell short. And we need to acknowledge that. But a healthy family, see, a healthy family, listen. Wearing masks is not healthy. Coming to church and everybody wears their mask. Everything's okay. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful. Sometimes it is. Sometimes my wife and I really get along and things are wonderful when I come to church. Sometimes we have conflict. Hallelujah. We're becoming healthy. There's a lot less conflict. Carmen does whatever I say and there's less conflict. It's great. No, you know what I do? I try to love my wife a whole lot more because guess what? When I love my wife more, she loves me more. It's an amazing kind of concept. And a healthy relationships in church means that when people are struggling, they can say, I'm struggling, I need prayer. A healthy relationship in a church is when people are excited, they feel they can be excited. A healthy church lets you be who you are. Lets you be who you are. Worship however you want to worship. If you don't want to worship, it's okay. Healthy church lets you be who you are. But a healthy church is also that has healthy relationships. It just don't let you be who you are. They actually have relationship with you. An amazing concept. Come here, Carmelita. She's scared. She don't know what's going on. We have a healthy relationship. So, listen. We have a healthy relationship, so she trusts me. She's suspicious of me. She's a little scared what I might do. But in the end, she trusts me. And because you trust me, I won't take you further than what will make you pass out. A healthy relationship is we not only accept one another, we interact with them one another. Now, men, you don't interact like this. That's not a healthy relationship. You don't take some woman in the church and decide that she's your lover all of a sudden. We show set boundaries and we show respect to one another. But we have a relationship and we get to know each other and what's struggling. Thank you, honey. In a healthy relationship, we get to know your story. If we're going to see community development, we're going to see a community grow, if we're going to see this church grow, we need to know each other. We need to know each other's stories, and you can't do that unless you spend time with each other. Yeah, but I don't like you. Let me tell you something. I don't like homeless people who camp tents in a park and smoke meth. I don't like them, and I don't like what they do. Well, you're supposed to separate the sinner from what they do. That is true, but guess what? I can separate your sin from you, but I still don't like you doing your sin. Should I like you doing your sin? Oh, hallelujah, I love you so much, keep it up. What a false gospel that is. But see, some of you aren't as real as me, but I'm real. Hey, I don't like what you're doing. But you know what? I can love you as a person. I don't accept what you're doing, but I can love you as a person. A healthy relationship, you can do that. And if they want me to be a fake, they can go fly a kite. I'm honest. I'm sincere. If you don't like me being honest with you and you want me to be a fake, I probably can't help you. And if you want a fake, there are plenty of them out there. Go find them. And do they help you? No. They actually talk about you and complain about you and say, you need to get your tent out of there and I don't care if you die or not. Using our gifts and talents for ministry. Community development is we use our gifts and our talents for ministry. Is God giving you talents, skills, abilities? Will you use them for the kingdom? Has God given you gifts, supernatural, spiritual gifts? Will you use them? You use your gifts and talents, ministry will grow. Meet the needs of those who are within the church and meet the needs of those who are outside the church. Just meet people's needs. Amazing things start to happen when you meet people's needs. How does this start? Next one, application. Okay. I like people who share information. I love information. But information is no good unless you can apply the information that you've heard. So let's talk about application. Fellowship, community development, fellowship. Interact with others in an individual manner. Get to know people. Fellowship, you want to see a community develop? Fellowship. Connect. Connect's a deeper thing. You know what fellowship is? We're at potluck and we eat together. But most of you aren't having fellowship even at potluck, because guess what? You sit with your little group. So fellowship is one thing. That's high, bye, have a meal. Connect is a deeper bond with others inside and outside the church. Connect with them. We need to connect. Be used. Offer your gifts and talents of love offering to others. Be available. Oh, this is hard to go through this. Be available. Make yourself available to use by God to make a difference. Be available. Stop giving excuses. Honestly, as a pastor, I'm no different than every pastor in this community. You know how many times pastors hear excuses why people don't do things? When they get together, they talk about all the things that irritate them in their churches. They talk about it. You know why we talk about it? To let us know we're not alone. Invariably, a pastor say this, and we say, "Pastor, you're not alone." Be available. Let God use you. Make a difference. Stop using excuses. We have the ability to make a difference. See, there's the warning signal. You hear it? That's God warning you. You better start making a difference. Practical application. Now we're going to go deeper. We're going to go deeper. Community development. Making a difference. Abortion. You know, I've been on Facebook. I have somebody that used to be in one of our sober houses, and they posted some things about abortion. They support abortion. And if you didn't know it, I don't. If you read on Facebook, you'll find out I don't. I'm not ashamed of that. But we've been going through a debate back and forth. I like debates because it gets me thinking, gets the other person thinking, and I'm not going to change that person's position. That's ridiculous. Me posting something on Facebook is going to make you think differently. If God can't make you think differently, how can I? But can I plant seeds? And everybody that watches, so when they say something, I challenge them. And interesting, they don't like to, when I say, "You say this, I say this," what they should give is a response back to what I said. But they have no argument against what I said. Because what I'm speaking is truth. But in the midst of that discussion, one of the things they bring up, all those pro-life people are all about women not having an abortion, but where are they helping the women? Where are they at? They can put a sign up that says, "Stop killing babies," but what are they doing practically helping somebody that's looking at having an abortion? Practical application. If you're going to tell a young girl to not get an abortion, help her during and after her pregnancy. "Oh, wait, you're killing your baby." Or, "You know what, what you're doing is sin," or "What you're doing is wrong," or whatever we may say. But will you walk them through their pregnancy? Will you be there after their pregnancy? Or will you just tell them they're doing it? And we can pick every sin there is. "You shouldn't do drugs, but I'm not going to help you get off of drugs." How about, I don't know if anybody here likes food. I like food. I like it a lot. And when I'm stressed out, I like going to food. It's my comfort. The only problem is, it doesn't do anything but put more of a belly on me. And I'm uncomfortable. Uncomfortable physically, uncomfortable in that I allow the food to control me. But if I know somebody's struggling with food, do I turn around and say, "Hey, this go have a celebration, and for the next 5 days we're going to go to all-you-eat buffets"? Are you helping them? No. So listen, you can't say, "Well, you're putting on a lot of weight, but just go eat some food." You find solutions. You help people. Help them go to the gym. Instead of pointing at them. You know, I go to the gym, and when I was going to the gym, used to go to the gym, and I would see somebody that's 400 pounds, and they're on that treadmill, and they're only going slow. And I say, "You're never going to lose weight that way." I don't say that to them. I say, "But you're never going to lose weight that way." You know what God says? They're on the treadmill. They're doing something about it. And you're going to be home not doing anything. So we do something. We carry people through jail. If you're going to tell someone to not be a repeat offender, mentor them. So they change their life. Mentor them. Homeless. Build a trust with somebody that's homeless and speak into their lives so they will take advantage of resources available to them. Over there at Transform Green, listen, there are showers for them. Most of them don't take a shower, even with showers. They get 13 people out of all that show up to take a shower. That's the max. 13 people, a whole lot more need showers. I will tell you, go there. They need showers. They have a dental van. They have a medical van. They have a crisis band for women that for diapers and formula and stuff. They have people that provide housing resources, people that provide treatment. Most of the people going there are not taking advantage of that. And I argue one reason is because nobody will walk them through it. Nobody will build a trustful relationship with them and turn around so that when you speak into their life, they listen. Because they know that you care. Practical ways. How about physical needs? Because all of you will say, you know, not all of you, some of you say, most of you say, I can't witness, I can't share, I can't talk to homo, I can't. But can you do a physical need? Can anybody mow a lawn? I know I can. I did yesterday. I don't know why Ed didn't mow the lawn for me, but that's okay. I mowed it myself. He could have used one arm and just don't go up the hill, it's too hard. Just you can do the level part and I'll do the hill. What if Ed was living by himself though? He can't mow a lawn. So is the Christian that can't mow a lawn because his arms messed, his shoulders messed up, and his grass gets this tall, and the neighbors say, well, that's slobby, don't mow his lawn. Well, you don't even know that the neighbor has a bad shoulder. So our neighbor, he now is walking with a crutch, his knees are bad, his wife has got all kinds of problems, so you don't even get out of the house. And after I mowed the lawn, he pulled up. I says, hey, I'm not going to do it today, but by Monday I will have your backyard mowed. And anybody that saw his backyard, it's very tall. He can't do it. I said, I'll mow your lawn. He says, I got somebody that's going to do it. I got somebody that's going to take care of it. He says, but when are they going to take care of it? I can take care of it by Monday. If it's not going to be by Monday, I can take care of it. He says, no, it's okay. And I've mowed his lawn more than once. That's how you build some community. Can you paint a room that needs painted? Can you provide transportation? Can you provide transportation? Can you help somebody out? Cut hair. We have people that can cut hair. Oh, wait, they do cut people's hair. How about knit a sweater? Mrs. Irish does great at knitting. She's amazing at knitting. I've seen the yarn in the office there. I sat with that needle for about 2 years now. Hasn't changed at all. That sweater hasn't gotten any bigger. It's a thimble sweater. So Mrs. Irish is not a knitter. So when I say knit a sweater and she gets offended, that's on her because she can't knit, so I'm not asking her to knit. Buy a meal. Give a personalized gift card. I know some people who do that. Throw a birthday party. Provide tutoring. Baku's one daughter is having a lot of problems with math and she needs tutoring. It's a great major problem that's happening right now. Can you help in tutoring? Can you babysit? Can you teach a class? Teach a class on anything. What if we turn around and we offer people a class on gardening? Invite some people to come. I'll come. Resources. How about connecting individuals to resources that are available to meet their needs? Get them connected to professionals who have the skills and resources available to them. Community development is for all people in the church and outside the church. What if we as a church actually took community development serious and we made some changes? All those things I talked about, there's something that you could pick out of that and that you could do. In the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be talking about more about community development, talk about more what we can do. And listen, I haven't gotten off my topic of revival, because I'll be honest. I think if some of you don't get revived, you're not going to do community development. You're not going to do any of this. If you're not excited about Jesus, if you're not excited about souls, if you're not excited about making a difference, you're not going to do this. I could preach this forever. You need revived. You need to get closer to Jesus. You need to stop coming to church just to come to church and actually get filled with the Holy Spirit and be consumed by the Spirit of God instead of consumed by all these things. Listen, if you're doing all this worldly stuff, I don't care if you're born again. You're going to get to heaven. But you haven't died yet. So until you die, you're supposed to do something on this earth. And then most of you, I'll be going to be honest, most of you are not baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. How do I know that? Because there's no fire in you. There's no energy in you. There's no burden for the lost. There's no crying out for souls. There's no crying out for this church. You need to be filled with the Spirit instead of the things of this world. I believe that we as a church can make a difference in this community. I believe we've made some differences. We have people that are sober. Paul was 8 years now. 8 years of sobriety today. Could Paul done without this church? Well, some of his sobriety started before this church. Could he done that? Yeah, he could. But I think this church helped along the way. I think that this ministry helped along the way. Ed, sobriety. Kent, sobriety. Dan, sobriety. Tyler, am I missing anybody right now? And all those who that we don't know about. Yeah, Isaiah. Well, Isaiah's in the other room. He's got sobriety and he's trying to grow in Christ to turn around and help some young people out. Taught last week. There's been people that have been helped. I've had people that have come to me and say, I learned more in the last several years on your ministry than I ever learned before in my life. So we're doing things. We have our TV shows that are going out there. We have the internet radio that we did for years. We have a lot of stuff that has gone on as a church. We've turned around to support our missionaries. Our missionaries are doing all kinds of things. So it's not that our church isn't doing anything. But we need to grow as a community.
This is Pastor Rich. Do you need to know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. John 1:7 says, you must be born again. Acts 16:31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And Matthew 1:15 says, repent you and believe the gospel. Will you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today? If you want to get more information, you can always go to our website to learn how to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can go to thereishopetv.org. That's thereishopetv.org. And we have information on frequently asked questions about Christianity. We let you know step by step how to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I encourage you to go to thereishopetv.org. Also, I want to let you know if you would like to talk to me personally, you can always give me a call toll free anytime. 1-866-1-GOD.
Listening to There Is Hope with Pastor Richard Dover. Through Jesus Christ, we can live a victorious life. Seattle Open Door Church, located in Burien, committed to loving God, loving people, and loving life. Seattle Open Door Church wants you to know that regardless of where you've been or what you've done, God loves you. Their doors are open to anyone and everyone. Their services are Sunday mornings at 11. Seattle Open Door Church is located at 625 Southwest 149th Street in Burien.